Canto 3, Chapter 30. Lord Kapila describes the adverse consequences of fruitive activities. Kapila said, "Just like a mass of clouds has no knowledge of the powerful wind, a person has no knowledge of this time factor, even though he is being conditioned by it. Whatever the goods one with difficulty acquired for one's happiness, they are destroyed by the Supreme Lord in the form of time, and for this reason the person laments. In his ignorance, he foolishly thinks that the temporality of having a home, land, and wealth for the sake of his body would be something permanent. The living being, finding its satisfaction in this worldly existence, will, irrespective of the birth that was acquired, be in consonance with it. Even being physically situated in hell, a person, who in fact is deluded by the divine illusory potency of matter, does not wish to give up his hellish pleasures. With his body, spouse, children, home, animals, wealth, and friendships deeply rooted in his heart, he considers himself a great success. Burning with anxiety about maintaining all the members of his dear family, he is always uncomfortable and with a bad mind acting like a fool. With his heart and senses charmed by the woman he privately sees and by the display of the sweet words of his children, he is in the grip of the falsehood of the outer illusion of considering non-permanent matters eternal. Engaged in the supposed duties of his family life, which cause him all kinds of trouble, he is busy countering these miseries attentively while thinking that that will make him happy as a householder. Only enjoying little of it, he maintains his family by means of the wealth that here and there with violence and victims was secured, but following that course he ultimately is ruined himself. When he, despite his repeated efforts, fails in his occupational engagement, he will, ruled by greed, enviously desire the wealth enjoyed by others, and thus get into trouble. No longer capable of maintaining his family, the unfortunate wretch, bereft of wealth and beauty, then, with a bewildered intelligence, full of grief, sighs over everything he tried in vain. Thus, finding himself incapable of supporting his wife and so on, he is not respected as he was before, the way an old ox is not respected by its farmer. Despite being nourished by those he once maintained himself, no aversion against a family life rises in him, while he, getting deformed of old age, at home awaits his death. Remaining there, he, like a pet dog, eats what indifferently is placed before him, falls sick with indigestion, and eats and does only little. Because of the inner pressure, his eyes bulge out, and with his windpipe congested with mucus, he coughs and has difficulty breathing, only saying, "Ugh, ugh." Lying down, surrounded by his lamenting friends and relatives, he, with the noose of time around his neck, cannot respond to the things said to him. He was engrossed in maintaining his family, and had no control over his senses, thus passes away in great pain, with his relatives in tears. Witnessing the arrival of the servants of death with their terrible eyes full of wrath, he, because of the fear in his heart, passes stool and urine. Like the king's soldiers, they immobilize his body by binding him in ropes for his punishment, whereupon they drag him, like a criminal, forcefully by the neck over a long distance. Inly broken by their threatening presence, he, overtaken, trembles on the road and is bitten by dogs in the distress of remembering his sins. Afflicted by hunger, thirst, and the radiation of scorching forest fires and winds on hot and sandy roads, he feels how he painfully is beaten on his back with a whip, while he, unable to move, can find no refuge or water. Now and then he falls, gets tired, and loses consciousness, and then again he reawakens on the road of his misery, where he quickly is led before the eternal ruler of death, Yamaraj. He sees his entire life passing by in a few moments, and then receives the punishment he deserves. With his limbs covered by firewood, he is cremated, or sometimes he sees himself eating his own flesh, or that other creatures do that. Vividly, he then witnesses how dogs pull out his entrails at his last resting place, where serpents, scorpions, gnats, and so on pester him to his abhorrence. One by one, his limbs are separated from his body by big and small animals who tear him apart, throw him from heights, or drag him underwater or into caves. Because of the unregulated sexual association one has, one must, whether one is a man or a woman, undergo the reaction in hellish states of anger, self-destruction, and bewilderment. Because hellish reactions are also observed in this world, O Mother, one speaks here of both heaven and hell. He who thus, in greed, attachment, and infidelity, maintained his family or lived for his stomach only, will, upon leaving this world, in his afterlife, have to face the consequences for himself and his family. After quitting his vehicle of time, he will enter the darkness all alone and pay the price for the harm that he out of self-interest did to others in his envy of their fortune. By divine arrangement, a man who sustained his family has to undergo the hellish reaction of his foul play and suffer like someone who lost all his wealth. When a person, in his eagerness to care for his family, is simply godless in his actions, he heads for the darkest region of self-destruction. After he, beginning from the lowest position of an animal existence prior to a human birth, in due order has undergone all the reactions and so on, he, thus being purged, may again return to this life.